Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Todd Butterfield, and today with me I have Sarah Chaffee, Program Officer in Education and Public Policy at Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So there's some new attention being focused on science education in Texas public schools. What's going on in Texas?
Well, Texas is currently in the middle of its science standards streamlining process. Over the past year, the board has put together committees, and these committees have reviewed the science standards, coming up with suggestions for how to shorten them and condense them. And amid much media and Darwin lobby pressure, the biology committee presented draft streamlined science standards in the fall. These standards actually removed good language from the 2009 standards that Texas had, which are actually paragons of good objective evolution education, but they removed some of this good language that protected the teaching of examining evidence both for and against major origins issues. So a standard that talked about the fossil record was abridged, and standards that talked about the origin of life and examining the complexity of the cell.
When you say abridged, does that mean they can't address those at all, or they can only just touch upon them?
What it means is that the science standard itself, what teachers are asked to make sure that students learn in your general biology class, is shortened so that there are less concepts that the teacher is expected to cover.
Well, that's too bad. It sounds a little bit limiting. So that's what they say a teacher could do, but it's possible, I'm hearing you say, potentially, that a teacher, any individual teacher, could expound upon those in more detail, but it's not in the requirement.
Well, here's where the problem comes in. When a teacher tailors their teaching specifically to the science standards that their state has adopted, they are on the strongest ground possible. If a teacher is in a district where their administration is very pro a dogmatic style of teaching evolution, and their science standards do not protect objective teaching about evolution, they could face trouble if they try to bring in peer-reviewed literature regarding neo-Darwinism. However, if the science standards are strong, it provides them a bit more cover.
I see. So we need that foundation to stay broad enough to allow teachers to have room to explore. And I think you're going to hit on this a little bit later about what can be done or what is being done. We'll ask that question in a second. I guess let's just go ahead. How's the process going, and is it pretty tied up right now?
Well, the good news is, despite these abridged standards being presented in the fall to the board, at their past meeting at the end of January, beginning of February, they tentatively adopted good changes that preserved a teacher's ability to critically analyze scientific evidence regarding biological and chemical evolution. So, for instance, the standard on the fossil record was slightly shortened, but all the content was kept. And the standards on the origin of life and the complexity of the cell were combined with other standards, but still the content was there.
Good. That's exciting.
However, the biology committee recently sent a letter to the board asking for one of the core parts of the two standards on the origin of life and the complexity of the cell to be taken out. So they said that the concept of evaluating scientific explanations for the origin of life, or evaluating scientific explanations for the cell, would take too much class time and require too much detailed knowledge on the part of the students. So what they did is, for instance, on the issue of the complexity of the cell, they wanted to change the standard, which, as the board had tentatively adopted it, was compare and contrast prokaryotic and eukaryotic cells and evaluate scientific explanations for their complexity. They wanted to take that and change it to the weaker compare and contrast prokaryotic and eukaryotic cells, including scientific explanations for their complexity. The problem is, this doesn't provide quite as much ground to evaluate differing explanations. And students are certainly capable of evaluating scientific claims under the guidance of a teacher. This idea of evaluating evidence doesn't necessarily require mastery of everything, and it doesn't need to take a long time. It simply means engaging students in active learning with the scientific information. And I think further and important also is the fact that the origin of the complexity of the cell remains a great scientific mystery. And if someone were simply to present a one-sided scientific explanation for the cell's complexity, that wouldn't fully educate students as to the state of the science on the topic. The fact is that the origin of eukaryotic cells is something that we don't know much about. If you're going to a cell that's much bigger and suddenly has all these organelles, that's something that needs to be explained and accounted for.
It certainly makes sense to me. I mean, I'm a curious person by nature, and I think youth in school are the same. If you gave them a chance, they might really get excited about even considering these things that some are, it sounds like, are trying to restrict. There's the desire or the instruction to teachers to teach students to be evaluative in other realms, whether it's writing their own persuasive paper or doing a math problem. They're asked to evaluate, not just regurgitate. And it seems like for them to try to put this standard or reduce the ability to evaluate in science is really antithetical to just basic learning.
Yeah. And looking at the origin of life standard, which deals with how did we get DNA, this standard specifically had a similar kind of change to it. So originally, the standard asked that students would evaluate scientific explanations for the origin of DNA. But the committee would like to change that to identify scientific explanations for the origin of DNA. And it's interesting, I'd like to read to you part of their justification for that.
Okay.
They talked about evaluate, the same that it might be too hard for students to do. But then they said, quote, this will allow students to become familiar with the Miller-Urey experiments and others, which are now embedded in most textbooks, without needing to evaluate the biochemistry involved, and without passing judgment on speculations regarding early Earth atmospheres, unquote. So
that's a lot.
Yes, but this is actually right out of Jonathan Wells' Icons of Evolution. The Miller-Urey experiment is flawed in numerous ways and is something that's still in textbooks. But one of the biggest problems with the Miller-Urey experiment is actually its assumptions based on the early Earth atmosphere. Texas students deserve better than this kind of dogmatic teaching.
Well, can you help me? There's a couple of things I need maybe some assistance with. Good or bad, studying early Earth atmospheres, in your opinion, is that useful? I'm not sure what the controversy is.
Right. So when you're looking at the origin of life and DNA, one of the most popular examples is the Miller-Urey experiments, where there was a simulated environment of lightning striking a compound and producing a few amino acids, right? But the conditions for that environment are not similar to what is expected to have been on the early Earth. And so the idea that amino acids could be produced on an early Earth environment in that sort of a setting doesn't make sense.
So the entire setup was false.
Right. But that's the kind of thing that this letter suggested that teachers could teach about without really looking at the weaknesses of that particular experiment.
Well, I'm glad somebody's analyzing the detailed verbiage of their requests and what already is in place, because identifying can seem innocuous until you realize that they're really trying to just say, point to this one experiment that is flawed, and that's all you get to do. So that feels very limiting and wrong.
Right. And I mean, there are plenty of competing explanations for the origin of life and DNA, and those are things that students should be acquainted with.
Absolutely. And you would hope that they would be given a little bit of latitude to explore what those are, not just identify the ones that were already given to them or found in their textbook. Does this relate at all to the kind of textbooks that they'll be choosing, or is it just the instruction?
At this point, with the streamlining process, the textbooks will not change.
Okay.
So we are simply looking at the science standards themselves and working with what we already have. But the 2009 standards that Texas has are very good on evolution. So we'd just like to preserve the language there.
Well, that sounds like a worthy, I guess I'll call it a battle, because it sounds like it's a little bit political. I'm not sure how much politics is involved, but when different entities come together and it's based on a government school, it seems political. So what's going to happen next?
Well, the Texas Board of Education will meet this next week. They will hear public comment, and then they will consider final adoption of the streamlined science standards. Our hope is that they will retain the language that they tentatively adopted at their January-February meeting and not accept the suggestions of the biology committee.
Okay, so in order for that to go the direction that perhaps you and I are more oriented toward, which is a broader level of perspective in instruction, I'm thinking you would want some phone calls made.
You know, it would be great for Texans to get involved and call school board members. You know, if it's convenient and you're in an area that's close to Austin, there's an opportunity to testify. Sign up is today and Monday. And really just let your voice be heard for the students in your state to have the opportunity to learn the facts about evolution and the facts about the origins of life and examine those and critically evaluate them.
So Austin is the home base for the Department of Education for all of Texas?
That is where the Board of Education meetings are.
Okay. But this applies to the entire state, not just one city.
Absolutely.
Correct. If I had friends who lived in Texas, it maybe helped if I called them and said, hey, make your voice heard.
That would be great.
Is this being looked at by others in the nation as something that needs to be protected?
There are various states that have and are considering academic freedom legislation, which is legislation that would protect the ability of teachers to teach about scientific strengths and weaknesses of theories in the curriculum without having to fear career repercussions from their administrators. So they're very limited pieces of legislation that just say teachers have the freedom to help their students analyze and evaluate scientific information on controversial issues.
Well, that sounds really good.
So they're being considered by several states this year, and they've been considered by different states in the past. Louisiana and Tennessee currently have laws to that effect.
Excellent. But our immediate focus is getting a voice in Texas, because the vote is...
next Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay. All right, that's just around the corner. So this has to get out. Thank you so much, Sarah Chaffee, for joining me and having such great information, and I wish you the best.
Glad to be here. Thanks so much.
This has been Todd Butterfield for ID the Future.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.